The Chat Spotlight, episode 38. Hey everybody, what's up? How is your week going? Yanni Lunga here from thejetspotlight.com, and thank you for listening to the podcast. If it's your first time, if you're a returning listener, thank you so much for being with me. And if you're wondering, yeah, I am doing great. I'm stoked. I'm very happy to bring you another exciting episode of the podcast. But, you know, part of me feels bad. And if you want to know why, here's why. I forgot to give shoutouts during the last couple of episodes. So I want to make up for that and give a shout out to a few people. And first of all, I'd like to thank Ruben H. I hope I pronounced your name correctly. And FearlessMindPodcast.com for your great reviews on iTunes. Thank you guys, you rock. And I also like to give a shout out to Naoto Tamura and B Build Hef for taking the time and leave a review on Stitcher. Guys, thank you very much. I really appreciate your support and I'm happy you enjoy the podcast and you're getting value out of it. If you guys would like to help out the podcast and leave a review, you can do that on iTunes if you go to thejetspotlight.com/show or on Stitcher if you go to thejetspotlight.com/Stitcher. And I also would like to thank the people of the Belgrade Jazz Festival for sharing the Ultimate Jazz Festivals guide for the month of October on the website. Thank you so much, guys. I know that the festival is almost here, so I wish you a great edition of your festival. So now, guys, today's episode, you probably seen from the title, today we're gonna talk about strategies. We're gonna talk about strategies for releasing an album and for music promotion. And I have a sensational guest because he's the director of marketing of CD Baby. And if you're, you know, if you're an independent musician, you probably know about CD Baby as an online music store and as a place that provides great services for musicians. My guest today is Kevin Bruner, director of marketing of CD Baby, as I said, and is also a member of the Grammy-nominated band Small Town Poets. And in addition of all this, he even found the time to create the great show, the Do-It-Yourself Musician Podcast. And it's a show that I highly recommend. I listen to it. I've actually subscribed to it on iTunes so that as soon as a new episode goes live, I have it on my device and I can listen to it. And Kevin and his co-hosts have great guests and talk about inspiring things and great things people in the music industry are doing. So if you are looking for new podcasts about the music business and independent musicians, highly recommended. Like always, remember that you can find all the links of everything we talk about with Kevin at thejetspotlight.com/episode38. Let's hear it. Here is Album Release Strategies and Music Promotion with Kevin Bruner. Enjoy. Hey everybody, I'm here with a special guest. You know, it's a fellow podcaster, he's a colleague in a way. I've been listening to his podcast for quite a while now. It's unbelievable. It's a great podcast, one of my favorite podcasts ever. And if you're interested in learning about what's happening today in the music industry, you're looking for tips, resources, inspiring stories, you should definitely check out the Do-It-Yourself Musician podcast of CD Baby. We're going to talk about that in a moment. We're going to talk about music distribution, how you can sell your music online, and we're going to hear some tips on how to promote yourself online, what to do and what not to do. So some do's and don'ts. But let's hear from today's guest. It's with great pleasure that I welcome on the show, Kevin Bruner. Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Hey there. Good to be here.
Hey, my pleasure. My pleasure. Where can we start from? We have so many things to talk about. But I think the first thing I should ask you, tell us a little bit about your typical day, because you're doing so many great things. How is your typical day?
Well, first off, thanks for the glowing recommendation about the podcast.
My pleasure, man.
That we do here at CD Baby. We appreciate that. A typical day, you know, I'm the director of marketing here at CD Baby. So I come to work and I'm working with seven other folks that we're tasked with letting artists know about our services and what we can do for them. So it could be a day full of meetings about marketing campaigns, or it could be I'm heavily involved with the direction that the websites go and what we're doing on the websites and development there. And I have my hands in a little bit of business development for the company as a whole. So, a typical week, it's tough to describe a typical week because it can change drastically. There's sometimes I'm out traveling, going to various conferences, and there's other times where I'm just like here in my office, just doing a boring office job. But I love the work. It would be boring if you sat next to me and were watching because I'm just at a computer. So, but yeah, it's a lot of fun working here.
And it's great what you guys are doing with CD Baby, what you provide for musicians, for people in the music industry who are not musicians. But I'm speaking on from the viewpoint of someone that really knows about what you guys are doing. Some of the listeners of the podcast are musicians, but perhaps don't know much about CD Baby. Could you give us a short overview of what CD Baby can do for independent musicians?
Sure. CD Baby, we've been around actually since 1998, when we just started helping artists sell CDs online, and since then we've grown into just basically a one-stop distribution platform for artists. So if you want to get on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, all those places around the world, we can do that for you. We can still sell your CDs on our website and downloads on our website. Our website, cdbaby.com, is sort of a direct to fan platform that artists use where they can set the price and make a lot more money than they do with sales iTunes or Amazon and all those places. And we're also helping artists do other things like monetize their music on YouTube. That's been one of the exciting things for us. That has just been exploding. And this past quarter, we paid out close to $1 million just for
Whoa.
music being used on YouTube, and that was just for the quarter. And that's we expect that to just keep exploding in growth and being a good opportunity for artists to capture more income from their music that they weren't able to do so in the past. And then we also have our hands in some publishing administration. So that's the CD Baby Pro package that I know you're there in Finland. So when you go to the site, you and log into an account, you wouldn't necessarily see it because it's still US and Canada only, but that allows us to administer publishing rights on behalf of the artists and help them collect publishing money that was in the past not available to independent artists and just getting pooled in with money owed to major label artists. And basically the major labels were getting money that was owed to indie. So we're trying to help solve that problem and make sure that independent artists have access to their publishing money as well. So we're in a lot of things.
Yeah, you guys do a bunch of great things. And so you were saying that basically, with CD Baby, an independent musician can get his or her music distributed and sold on pretty much all the places like Amazon, iTunes, and get royalties also from having the music on YouTube, you were saying.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So, and it's one of those things where you can decide what services you want. You don't have to use them all, but the YouTube monetization is free and complimentary. So, and so that's something that comes with your distribution package. So it's just been cool to add those things in that help artists make more money from their music. So we've been doing a lot of work there and doing a lot of work on our own website to improve the access that artists can have to sell and distribute their music.
And I have to tap into your brain and ask you for a couple of tips for the musicians who are listening to us, who are not necessarily using CD Baby for distributing their music. Maybe they are doing everything on their own. What kind of advice would you have for them in terms of how to promote their music online and maybe make money
Yeah.
out of their music online?
Well, I mean, first off, I would say that if you've got music that you haven't distributed, you definitely want to get it online and make it available. I mean, that's going to be one of the best ways to get feedback and see how people react to your music. If you're kind of hesitant or you have some tracks that are part of an upcoming album, but you just want to make them available, we just launched this. It's called CD Baby Free now, and it just allows you to sign up and sell or give away tracks on the cdbaby.com website. It doesn't allow you to distribute to iTunes because that's a service that there's a submission fee. So if you want to do that, you just have to pay the submission fee. But so that's something new that we just launched, CD Baby Free, that allows people to just get their tracks online, maybe pull in tracks from SoundCloud that they've had, out there, but now they have a chance to actually try and sell them. So, that's first off. I'd say if your music's not online, you should get it online.
And do you have a couple of places to recommend where people should promote their music online? You mentioned SoundCloud, for example.
Well, people always ask us about, distribution, especially now. Spotify is kind of a hot topic with artists. Some people love it, some people don't. The way I look at it is you want your music available where people are searching for music. And, back in the day, it used to be the local record store. When someone heard a song they liked or an artist, they would go into a record store and try and find it. And unfortunately, back in those days, there's physical size of stores that are very limited amount of music they could sell. So usually if you're an independent artist, people wouldn't find it. But now they're going to, iTunes, Spotify, where else? Beats Music, Amazon, Google Play, all those places have users that, that's their preferred method of, listening to music. And so to me, it's important that you get your music out there to all those places where people are naturally going to find music. Now, if you want to talk about where, as an artist, you should be promoting your fans to go, to me, the best place to do, I mean, what the kind of the mindset I have is, if my diehard fans, if they ask me, hey, where should I go to buy your music? I'm going to send them to cdbaby.com because that's where I'm going to make the most money. But if the fans are asking me, that's the strategy I have. But I wouldn't limit myself to just that because then, like I said, people naturally go looking for music in certain places. Like, I have an iPhone, so I'm always going to look for the music I want to buy in iTunes just because it works. It's designed to work with my phone. First Android users, a lot of times they like Google Play or, other services. So to me, that's where the distribution piece comes into play and is still super important. And a lot of artists tend to think that they don't need that anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, people should think to try to be in, like you said, where people are listening to music and, where their current fan or even potential fans should be and try to broaden their scope. Like you mentioned now in a minute, you mentioned a bunch of great places that I think, if you are listening to Kevin and I and you're a musician, but you don't have your music on these places yet, you should definitely go and upload it there. First of all, because you can get new fans and also because you can start to monetize from your music. Obviously, then there is the question, where do you draw the line between giving your music away for free, like completely, or where you should pay, what should be kind of premium version of your music? That's a debate. But I think it's important, like you said, to have at least some music online so that people can get an idea of who you are and what your music sounds like.
Yeah, agreed. So, I mean, it's if you kind of have to do with, I mean, a lot of people, like I said, Spotify being a sort of a hot topic, and some artists don't want to put their music there because they're afraid that it means that people aren't going to buy it. The tough thing is that, those folks who use Spotify, one, you don't can't assume that they're not going to buy anything that they like. But at the same time, I mean, that's how they've chosen to interact with music. And at this point in my career, I'm in a band and we're independent. I wouldn't want to exclude our music from those folks because they'll just go find something else to listen to. But, I think there is something to be said for strategy. I wouldn't say that, hey, let's just throw our music out everywhere, free, whatever, paid, whatever, you know, just blindly just put it all over the place. I think there can be, there's room for strategy and the idea of, hey, you know, if I'm going to give away a free track, this is what I'm expecting to accomplish mm-hmm. with it. I think artists tend to put music up online and say, okay, it's here for $10, get the album, and then nothing happens. So they assume that, okay, now we're going to just lower the price, $5. No, nothing happened. Okay, now we're just going to make it free. And then nothing happens, and they go, see, you can't even give music away these days. And the problem isn't the price or whether or not it was free. The problem is that, one, they probably haven't built a fan base or built demand for the music, which is something that they need to do, but also not being very strategic about what they're doing. And I see that happen a lot with artists, that they just kind of assume that the best way to get people into their music is by offering downloads for cheap or free. But really, the best way to get people into your music and into what you're doing is, one, having great music, but two, having a great story that make people interested in what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's great because in a way you throw it out there. I wanted to ask you later on about some of the mistakes you see artists make online when it comes to promotion. But what you just said actually brings up the topic, because one of the biggest mistakes I see artists make, especially on Twitter, is to send the exact same tweet, like, hey, listen to my music, and put, let's say, SoundCloud link to everybody. And for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jet Spotlight. I'm really open to, you know, to new artists, music professionals, managers, websites that are, that deals with music. But to me, the first thing I do when there is someone that I don't know about that sends me a tweet, I go to check his or her page. So if I see that if it's someone that, oh, okay, looks like an interesting artist, why not? I can help with a retweet and, you know, or a Facebook post or whatever. But if I see that the tweet is just a copy paste to hundreds of other Twitter users, I'm like, yeah, well, okay, thanks for spamming. So I think that's a huge mistake that artists make. And relates with what you said, that they don't have a real strategy in mind. So you mentioned with the pricing that they think like, okay, we just lower the price or provide our music for free and fans will just run through the doors. It doesn't really work like that. You have to build trust, to build a relationship, and like you said, to have a great story to tell. And do you, obviously you're in marketing at City Baby, and I'm sure every week you see plenty of mistakes online made by artists. Do you have a couple of that you really want to mention?
Well, I mean, I think the number one mistake artists make is, you know, they have a new album out, a new release, and they want something to happen, which is understandable. They want something to happen very quickly, which is also understandable. And instead of turning, you know, the experience of making the record into a compelling, longer story that needs to be told, they tend to turn into, they sound like used car salesmen yelling online quite often. The funny thing is, you know, you look at, we monitor a lot of Twitter keywords and such here at CD Baby, and even just the, you know, our own name, and we see artists still post like over and over again, just buy my music. And I'm talking like within 30 seconds of each other, there'll be like this gigantic string of tweets by an artist, and it's just a big turnoff. And it, you know, when artists do that, it just makes people not interested, and it's challenging because you know, I will say that the band I'm in, Small Town Poets, we're currently doing a Pledge Music campaign. We're about halfway through. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge to not turn yourself into, hey, do this right now, do this right now. And that's all you can say is like, go, pledge to support the album, and realize that, hey, the idea is that, you know, they're coming along for the story of the making of the album. We got to really tell a longer story. And it's hard. It becomes a challenge. But I think that's where, you know, you have to get creative. And as artists, I hope there's, you know, some amount of creativity in us.
Hopefully, yeah.
And we need to tap into that more and just learn how to be interesting and tell something that's interesting. And it's tough because, you know, just because you play music and you're good at writing songs doesn't mean you're good at writing stories. And but unfortunately, that's where most people encounter you first, is some sort of description about your music, or an interesting photograph, or that has a cool caption, and just, you know, the idea of being able to articulate who you are as an artist with the tools of social media is, can be very empowering and really get some, build a fan base. But if you use them the wrong way, it can just make people unfollow you and be turned off by, you know, just your presence online.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And also when you said, you know, people tweeting the same tweet in a maybe 30 second span, if you are listening and you're doing that, please stop it. Put yourself, I think that you should put yourself in the shoes of a Twitter user who doesn't know anything about you. So if he or she comes and checks your Twitter stream and sees the exact same tweet copy pasted and sent to hundreds of people, you probably won't make a good impression. I think, like Kevin said, I emphasize the word being interesting because that's something that popped up before. On episode 22, I had on the show a legendary jazz artist, bassist Dave Holland, who talked about, you know, how he uses Twitter. And that's exactly what he said, that I try to be interesting on Twitter so that people, you know, obviously follow him because of his music, but also because he has interesting things to tell, to share, and musical recommendations. And also you should remember what Andrew Reid said on episode 31, that social media, it's a two-way communication stream. So you don't want just to be like Kevin said, a used car dealer, just, you know, shouting the same message over and over again, because that doesn't really work. And in a way, I think that at least when it comes to the online world, it can affect your reputation. Is there another big no-no that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I think the another common mistake that we see artists making is that they get their album release show booked before the album's actually done. And you know what? I've done this one myself. It's so hard not to fall into this. You know, here's how it typically happens, and this is exactly what happened to me. But there's, you know, you're working on an album and a really good show opportunity pops up, say 4 months away, and you book it and you're like, yeah, we'll make this our album release show. And you start promoting it as such, and you think, it's 4 months away. There's no way we won't be done with the album by then. And it comes, you know, by the time the show is approaching, you're scrambling to try and have CDs there and everything done. And instead of just, you know, finishing up the project, and having everything done, and then going, okay, now that we've got the recording portion done, let's set a date for an album release show and launch this thing right. So I think that's, you know, one thing where artists tend to feel some pressure, and, you know, they're working on a project. You know, a lot of times they're spending a good bit of money and their own personal money, and they want to see some return on that and start getting some cash flowing. And so the tendency is to want to make sure that album release show happens as soon as possible. But it really is a key event that is still really important to an artist release. I know that some people would say the album's dead or the album release show's dead, but I totally disagree, because when you approach your local press, and not even just the local press, just the press in general, and people that are, you know, club bookers and things like that, that you're trying to get to pay attention to what you're doing, they really still key off of that as, you know, an important event. And an important event is kind of a landmark thing. Okay, this is their album release show. They'll probably put extra effort into promoting it, so I'm going to book them for that. Or this is their album release show. We're going to cover that in the press. That's an interesting event. There's new music. They're doing something. Let's find out what it is. So I think it's one of those things that can really get be a nice launching point, to extend your reach in the press and in the local scene with club bookers and such. And a lot of times artists rush so quickly to get to it that instead of finishing the album and taking the time to launch it properly, they kind of rush it and, you know, end up really stressed out by how the end of the record release project or the end of the album comes together, and then feel really stressed out and missed opportunities happen with the album release show. That's something we see happen all the time. And like I said, I've done it myself.
So your advice would be to kind of focus on the music first and finish the album, and then kind of come up with a strategy for promoting the album and, you know, marketing it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, there's several processes when you're making a record. There's the creative process, and that's where artists tend to focus on and should focus on, that, you know, that we're in the studio, we're recording. But what seems to be, you know, the issue is that musicians don't tend to be great project managers. And so there's a lot of things that have to happen simultaneously in order to get a record done at a certain time. And what typically happens is, you know, they get the mixing done, and that's when they start thinking about, you know, the album's mixed. And that's when they start thinking about, hey, we should probably get this mastered because we have to have it mastered. And so they go start looking for someone to master it. Then they get it mastered and they go, oh, you know what? We need artwork. So let's start looking for someone to do artwork. And then it becomes, oh, we need CDs. And instead of all those things happening at the same time going, you know what? We're doing an album. We got to have artwork. Why don't we get someone working on this now? And so it ends up being a longer process usually than artists expect. And some of the key pieces get left till the last minute. And so that's why we see it happen all the time, that artists are scrambling. When you get your project done, I should also add this, when you have your project done ahead of time and, you know, you have, say, hey, we've got final CDs in hand. It's all done. Let's plan a release date 3 months from now. Mm-hmm. What happens is you also give people like us the ability to reach out to folks like iTunes and Amazon and Spotify, people that we have relationships with that are always looking for new music to feature. And so when you have your album done and you're not scrambling to the last minute, some of those opportunities can possibly open up to you, but it's never going to happen if it's, you know, hey, we're releasing it next Tuesday and hopefully we get it done in time. Because that's not how the world works as far as like having a window of time to slot things in for promotion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And they also, if you plan it properly, it also gives you time to build the right momentum, you know, to create, you know, that people are really, especially those that are already following you, that are really waiting for the release gig, and also gives you the opportunity of maybe making new fans who are going to make it to your release show. And if you were to give one marketing nugget, golden nugget to the musicians that are listening to us now, what would that be?
The one thing I'd say is you need to be building an email list. It's funny because when social media popped up and, you know, the current forms that we have like Facebook and Twitter and all that, a lot of people were saying email is dead, but those folks don't work in marketing, because those that do know that email is still by far the place where you get results. When people get an email, they see it as direct communication from you. When they see posts on social media, they see it as more of like a billboard sometimes, or, you know, like the newspaper. There's interesting articles, or somebody said something interesting, I might check it out. If not, I'm just going to glance by it. Mm-hmm. But stuff that comes to my inbox, I see as a message for me. And that being said, you should treat it like that. When you're writing emails, write it as if there is one person on the other end receiving it, not, hey, we wanted to let everybody know this. Well, everybody's not sitting around my inbox reading our email together. So it's a really personal form of communication. People love their email inbox. When you abuse it and spam them, they get really angry. When you do it on Facebook and Twitter, they just ignore you. But on email, they really, it's a place where you get, if you want people to take action, that's the place you should be focusing your attention. So it's really important to build an email list. And that's where, you know, we talked about earlier about being strategic about what you're doing. That's where, you know, giving away a free track in exchange for an email address is a good idea. in my opinion, to help get some email list subscribers. And then it's a way for you to cultivate that relationship, and you know, that's where you can really build a good story. And you know, I would also say, if you haven't been using email, or you are and it hasn't been working for you, I would say totally streamline and simplify it. Forget about all that fancy branding and stuff. I think some people go way overboard with branding their emails, which just makes it look like an advertisement. You know, like a header, a banner, header in the email is fine, but this really is should be the focus should be saying something to the people on the other end. And whether it's just telling them more about you as an artist, something interesting, it doesn't have to be this gigantic message. It can be just a quick personal note with a link and saying, "Hey, you know, this is something that we did recently that did really well. Like I mentioned, we're in the middle of a Pledge music campaign, and we found a song that we had never released. It's not going to be on this current project we're working on, because it's a Christmas album that we're working on, but we found a song that had never been released, and I've always loved it, and some of the other guys have really liked it. It just was supposed to be on a compilation record, and that record ended up not happening. So we had this song, and I sent out an email with the subject line, 'We want your opinion of a new song,' and just a quick little note saying, 'Hey, go check this out.' And tons of people clicked through and were checking it out, because it's like, hey, we did something you haven't heard yet, and we want your opinion of it. And you know, I wouldn't do that with every song idea we have. People would get kind of worn out with that idea. But it was a song that, you know, I was really curious what people would think, because I thought it was a really good song. And so I something like that is just an easy way to you know, something to email, something that you may not think of. Here's a cool photo, or you know, a funny story from the road, or you know, there's lots of things you can do, but email is the one thing that goes underutilized by artists, and it's the one thing that's going to have the most impact as far as getting fans to take action.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's actually email list. It's a tool that we've talked about before in the on the podcast, because many other guests have mentioned them, or they have emphasized the importance of having an email list, build an email list. I think that what is powerful about having an email list is that it gives you access to people that are interested in what you're doing. And it's also, you know, a great way, like Kevin said, to come up with new ways to interact with people. For example, you have unused material. Why not to interact with the people and, you know, ask their opinion, or give make some free giveaways, some special mixtape, something that, you know, will make your fan base even more engaged and will turn your fans into super fans. And now, speaking of resources, marketing, email lists, podcasting. You are the host of the Do It Yourself Musician podcast, the DIY Musician podcast. Tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, I know a lot about that, because it's one of the podcasts that, you know, I almost go to sleep with it. So I know quite well about it. What is the podcast about?
When I started working here at CD Baby, originally my job was helping artists use our services. And so I'd be talking to artists all day long, whether it be about CD Baby, or they'd just have questions in general about promoting their music, or what services they should use, what services they shouldn't. And, you know, I felt, man, I just wish I had more time to talk to folks, and to, we had a resource here that just kind of answered these questions. And, you know, I'm an artist myself, and I'm a very curious person. So when I see somebody doing something interesting, I want to know how they're doing it. So the podcast was really started out of those two things, my own curiosity and the idea of wanting to help artists more with getting some of those, you know, using our platform here at CD Baby to get some of those answers for them. So, you know, we will interview someone like a club booker, or you know, the local press, and the focus really is helping independent artists move their career forward. So all the questions and the viewpoint of the interviews is intended that artists can gain knowledge about how something works, and better approach those situations. And I also interview artists as well. And those artist interviews, just in case anyone out there is curious about how I select artists for the podcast, it's always an artist that's doing something interesting that is getting attention for their music. So it's not even necessarily, you know, somebody that I go, oh, I love their music, I should get them on the podcast. It's somebody that I see doing something going, hey, that's really cool what they're doing and how they're building an audience. I want them to come on the podcast to share their strategy with everybody so other artists can learn from it and I can learn from it myself personally. and then we can, you know, we can have a better understanding of how this is working and how they're making it happen. So whether, and sometimes it's just strategy when I'm, you know, talking to artists, sometimes it's very technical. Like I've had people on the podcast where they're talking about doing live concerts over the internet, like using Ustream and services like that. And part of my curiosity around some of those things was just like, well, how do I even pull this off? I get the idea I can go to Ustream and sign up, but what are you actually doing and using to make this happen? So we cover a wide range of topics, but really all based around the idea of helping artists move their career forward and understanding, you know, the opportunities out there to promote their music and keep things moving along.
You guys rock. And for those who are listening, the podcast, the Do It Yourself Musician podcast, you can find it on iTunes, or even easier, if you just go to cdbabypodcast.com, you find there all the episodes. And, you know, they are well over 100 great episodes there. So it's definitely worth checking out. And speaking of CD Baby and great resources for musicians, I would also like to recommend that a Do It Yourself Musician blog of CD Baby, because I think there you can get even additional value to all the great things we, Kevin and I, have talked about now. Every day there are new articles from people in all fields of the music industry. And I've also submitted some posts as guest blogger, so it's been an honor for me to do that. And really, especially if you're a musician, you want to stay updated with what's happening today, you're looking for tips, resources, the Do-It-Yourself Musician podcast and the Do-It-Yourself Musician blog are the places you want to start from. Kevin, it was an honor to have someone, you know, a host of a podcast that I look up to. It's been an honor. I really appreciate, man, having you on the podcast to talk about CD Baby, the podcast, and also to listen about the tips and the do's and don'ts of, you know, music distribution and online promotion. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
All right, cool. Everyone, we are back. As always, first thing first. So Kevin, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I had a great time. As you guys heard, plenty of laughs and plenty of value and tips. So Kevin, thank you. And again, guys, I want to remind you, if you haven't yet, go to iTunes, look for the Do It Yourself Musician podcast, spelled DIY Musician podcast, and subscribe to get more valuable tips from Kevin, his co-hosts, and also all the great guests. Okay, guys, before I let you go on your merry way today, I want to give you a sneak peek about the upcoming episode that's going to be out this Thursday, because we're going to talk about tools, and we're going to talk about the must-have tools musicians should have. So I can't wait to bring that episode, and you're gonna hear about some of the tools that, if you're not using them, are really missing out big time. And I know you still have to wait until Thursday, but it's just a couple of days, right? And besides, you can check out the past episodes of the Jazz Spotlight. You can find them at jazzspotlight.com/podcast. You can find all the past episodes there, all the great tips, all the great guests, and all the show notes, so that you don't miss out on any of the great things, tools, resource, books, websites my guests and I have talked about on the Jazz Spotlight podcast. All right, guys, by now you know that I'm Yanni Lunga and you've listened to the Jazz Spotlight podcast. Thank you for listening and have a great day.